I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Please don't slow me down if I'm going too fast, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the preview show on Football Ramble Daily, sponsored by Betway. Spurs and Liverpool both lost in the Champions League, but they're back in the Premier League this weekend. Hi, everybody.
Hello.
I'm imagining everybody's body, and I'm looking at them and saying hello, waving, if you will.
Usually we can see more of your body than anyone else's, but today is a sad exception. But that's Pete Donaldson and Luke Moore and Jim Campbell.
Me and you did some filming earlier this week.
Talking of bodies, yeah.
And I took my top off.
Oh, you did, didn't you?
In celebration.
Very unprompted, but that is the joy of Pete Donaldson. He gets very excited.
And when you said in the intro to this, oh, if I'm going too fast, please don't slow me down, was that a thinly veiled reference to us, to let you just do your thing?
Strokes have got a new single out.
Have they? I haven't heard it. I'm out of touch.
I think they do.
Didn't they do a Bernie rally thing?
They did, yeah. They definitely did that. I think they played in London this week as well.
And they were singing New York City Cops, and a cop stormed the stage.
Apparently, yeah. Apparently.
Ooh, we are smart, and I'll prove it to you. Oh, no.
Oh, no, I'm being lampooned.
Nothing can make you feel more old than when these bands come around again.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You think, oh, well, I could go and see them. That'd be good. But I saw them like ages ago.
Yeah.
When I was actually a young man.
I always think that like bands like The Strokes, you sort of go, oh, they must be out 50 now, bearing in mind they're probably my age.
They're probably exactly when the same they came you, on, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. Still sexy bunch of lads, though.
Yes.
Much like us. Now, Tottenham Hotspur, let's begin with them. They lost 1-0 at home to RB Leipzig in the Champions League this week. They're obviously playing Chelsea away in the Premier League, of course.
Oh, it wasn't good, was it?
Contractually obliged to say that the RB in RB Leipzig does not stand for Red Bull.
Correct. Mm.
And even though on the radio earlier this week, some guy on Firefly was trolling Leipzig, ridiculous. Like every single time he had to do a promo for the next day's live commentary, he kept going. And it'll be between tomorrow night. We've got live coverage exclusively between Spurs and Red Bull Leipzig over and over again to make a point.
Yeah, what a renegade!
It's a kind of pettiness I can get behind.
Yeah, I mean it's.
It of course stands for Richard Blackwood.
It does. Blackwood Leipzig is the full name. He's invested, taken a very, very large stake in it.
Yeah.
And
that's not true.
Took his EastEnders money.
I was at the game last night. I wonder why they put a big banner up that said, "We love you, RB."
Yeah.
And in brackets,
watch you every day on
check
MTV.
You every day on MTV. Yeah. Yeah.
You see, in Wales, they told me it was Rob Brydon like I don't know what's going on here.
Or Richard Burton.
Robert the Bruce, of course. But, et cetera, et cetera.
So Richard Blackwood Leipzig were very good. I was at the game. I was at the game, and they were a testament to Richard Blackwood's varied and storied career.
Yes.
Did it not remind you of when Ajax played Spurs in the semi-final, the first leg? When Ajax were distinctly the better side and they went away 1-0 and probably should have had more.
Yes, it did. I was at that game as well. My memory is terrible. Okay. But I'm going to go along with that.
Yeah. Yeah. Jim, you were nodding when I said that.
No, I think you're right, because Lloris was fantastic last night, wasn't he? And he definitely helped them keep it down. Mourinho said it was like going to a gunfight without any bullets. Because with Kane and Son being out, it's kind of fair enough, isn't it?
Yeah, I think there's a few different inputs, isn't there? The fact that they've got injury problems, particularly up front, they look short at fullback as well. And their game plan clearly was to set up in like a deep 4-4-2 and just frustrate Leipzig, which you could have your own issue with if you're a Spurs fan. New stadium. Yeah. We're in the Champions League. We got to the final last season. Mm-hmm. And Spurs fans that I know were saying before the game, or before the when the draw happened, if we could have Leipzig or Atalanta or Valencia, we'd be happy with that. So you got one of those. And to set up like that, injuries aside, I think it was a little bit disappointing. Although the game plan did very nearly work. After the first couple of minutes, they kind of... Leipzig always looked the most likely and controlled the game and had the ball, but it didn't feel to me that Spurs were too uncomfortable. They just had no tempo to their play.
They had a couple of
and
chances.
No urgency. Yeah, no urgency. And after Leipzig scored, to me, I think Nagelsmann was a really interesting coach to watch. After Leipzig scored, they then changed it again and said to the Spurs, "Well, come on then."
Yeah.
And Spurs didn't really have anything.
No.
So it was a fascinating game to watch. It really was.
Nagelsmann, talking about making you feel old.
He's 32.
He's years younger than us.
32. No,
which is mad. But I thought Glenn Hoddle summed up quite nicely where he said, with this Spurs side, they don't look like they have a plan and they're playing quite a rigid system and so on. They're hoping that it works. They're hoping that they're good, that somehow it kind of just clicks. And he said it's not enough. And it's strange for Mourinho, who knows this competition. He's a wily operator and so on. I know that the Kane and Son are huge misses, don't get me wrong. But I mean, you know, from memory, Kane wasn't there in that second leg against Ajax, was he? And Lucas Moura scored. So, you know, they've had experience of big games without him. But I just think you've got to do more than that.
And also, Marcus, sorry, Jim, just very, very quickly, Leipzig had a lot of players out themselves.
Well, exactly.
And they go away from home and play like that. So, I mean, it doesn't preclude you from playing well. And I differ from Hoddle slightly, because I do think that Spurs had a plan. I just think it was a quite reactive, negative, boring plan, and that would annoy me if I were a Spurs fan.
Well, that is what you sign up to, though, isn't it, when you hire Mourinho, and you know that he might do that, even if you are like, even if you're Real Madrid, you know, he might set up like that if he thinks that's the best way of just getting the win, even if the win's really ugly and unattractive. And I think when he's looking at, you know, the fact that he's missing Kane and Son, and he is improvising a bit in terms of personnel, then he's gonna fall back on a tried and tested game plan. And I suppose Spurs probably aren't quite used to enacting it yet. And Leipzig have got a lot of energy, haven't they? Possibly from the hype given to them by Richard Blackwood.
Yeah. speaking of...
rather than a certain energy drink.
Speaking of farcical entertainment, there's a kid near me at the game last night, with his dad and his dad's mate, and they were chipping off at the referee. I thought the referee had a poor game, actually. I don't know what it was like on telly, but from
it was
a
definite penalty, though.
Oh no, yeah, I couldn't see that. I was miles away from it, and someone come across my vision. I imagine that was absolutely the case. But generally speaking, I thought he was quite poor. But anyway, as fans are going to do anyway, they were getting annoyed with the referee, because it's the kind of thing that happens when your team's losing, regardless if he's having a good game or not. But it got so ridiculous with this kid and his dad and his dad's mate. The dad and the dad's mate were doing the usual shouting, and the kid just got into it. And he was only about 15. And he started aping what his dad was saying. And then he just went way over the top, and he just went, "Yeah, yeah, we should referee our own games." And his dad sort of looked at him and went,
"Not my
son. You've gone too far there.
Stop it.
Stop giving them ideas."
So let's run with it, though. So each club would have their own referee.
Yeah. RB Leipzig
would referee you at home.
Well, it's like Sunday League when you don't have any linesmen.
You get the guy on the tracksuit bottoms to do it.
Yeah, you get the most honest of the group.
or in boxing, where they have the massively corrupt and biased home judges.
Right, okay.
But could Richard Blackwood do it for Leipzig? What sort of shape is he in?
I see him as more of a manager, simply because who demand ninja? It's one of his famous hits.
Yeah. I apologise if you've not getting any of these references.
It's for the teenagers, Mark.
Yeah, I'm not apologising.
Yeah. We've had the Strokes, we've had Richard Blackwood, it's everything you need.
Indeed, yeah. Well, Son, of course, is not expected to play again this season after breaking his arm against Villa. Oddly, he broke his arm in that game, but then went on to score two.
It makes me think, just crack on,
patch him up,
so to speak.
Get it in a sling. Get him moving.
It's like when I did mine, broke my arm on the playground in the playground at school, and my mum sent me back to school the next day.
Mm. She didn't believe what happened? Yeah. How did you break it?
I fell off a climbing frame.
Ooh. So my elbow.
Not as spectacular as Pete.
Collarbone.
Yeah. Pete's, your mum
sent me to bed with a paracetamol.
When you had?
I'd broken my elbow.
Yeah.
That was when you did a Jürgen Klinsmann celebration. Jürgen Klinsmann.
Yeah, but yours was so bad you've actually got scars where you had to have surgery, right?
Yeah. And when she saw those scars / the x-ray, she bought me a new Newcastle home shirt.
Yeah! Oh.
Get in there.
You wouldn't have it any other way, would
wouldn't
you?
Have it any
Which
other
one
way.
Was it?
It was
McEwen's Lager.
McEwen's Lager.
Yeah.
Rather than the star version.
Andy Cole?
Yeah.
Oh, I love that.
Andy Cole, top left, Spurs. Thank you.
Lovely old job. Mm. Now, Barcelona were given permission by La Liga to sign an emergency striker outside the window. The player has to be a free agent or playing in the Liga, of course.
We've seen some poor
Tottenham Hotspur
administration decisions in football this season.
Yeah.
But this takes the biscuit.
Absolutely
ruining
outrageous.
Another team's. They're going to sign that player from Leganés.
Martin Braithwaite. And
he can't believe his luck.
Yeah, he can't believe his luck. We can't believe our luck because we were going about to get him for a ramble meet, and now we can't. But the worst, the thing that makes the whole thing a farce, right, is that I think I'm right in saying, I've read this anyway, so you know, don't shoot the messenger, that the system is so, I'm going to say, fucked.
Yeah.
That Barcelona, who are well known as having one of the best academies in the world, bringing players through, who could just go and get a young kid, almost a small kid there, not a small kid, a young kid, and play him instead. But they're going to sign Martin Braithwaite. Get this, Leganés will not be given permission to replace him.
Oh my goodness.
But this because they've not got an injury crisis.
No.
What you want to do is kick your own players so they can't play, then you can sign another one yourself.
This is the problem. That's the kind of chain of events.
Also, an injury crisis is something that you're supposed to manage with your squad and your youth team, right? It's like we said about the goalkeepers thing in the past.
I don't think it should even apply to keepers.
Yeah.
But some people would say with keepers you should be able to do it.
As a top flight club, you have an academy. You should have an investment in that academy that allows you to promote players. Mm. Yeah. It's ridiculous.
But I think doing that for a striker because of an injury crisis is just like
it's madness.
It's just at least hide your bias, guys. Come on.
I know. I like the thought of Braithwaite in the press conference going, yeah, I always knew hard work would get me here. As if he's been like the summer signing.
As he puts the crowbar back in his car boot. I know it's terrible what's happened to some of your players. Be ashamed for anything worse to happen.
Yeah.
I thought you could. I play a lot of Football Manager for an exact month after it comes out.
And then you get fired.
I sign exactly. And I realise why I can't play that game. And then I do it a year later and realise again.
If you're listening, Miles, do please send us more copies of it. Is that what you're trying to say?
I'm flush. I've got one. I bought one myself, thank you.
I'm flush.
I thought you could, for some reason I thought you could sign players outside of the window if they're free agents anyway.
You can have the free agents, I think.
Yeah.
I think so.
So Mourinho's positing that he could sign Peter Crouch could actually happen.
That would be a tactic, yeah. I think
he's a bit sniffy about it. Like Drogba got a lot of value out of a very tall Drogba. That's all I'm saying.
The Drogba was a professional footballer.
Yeah, at the time.
Yeah, Peter Crouch is also
definitely retired and has been for a about 4 years.
He's doing a, as far as I'm aware, very poorly listened to football podcast.
Yeah, exactly.
But highly awarded.
Yeah.
It's almost as if you want Peter Crouch to turn up at your award ceremony.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, guys.
It's almost like he's on the BBC gravy train. Shattered Dreams Parkway.
Well, what are they going to do when they play Chelsea? Chelsea, of course, lost to Manchester United at home this week. And Chelsea they're sort of dropping a little bit. I mean, in the top 10 currently in the Premier League, only Everton have lost more games than Chelsea, and only Everton have conceded more goals. I'm concerned.
I don't feel like 41 points in at this stage of the season should get you in fourth.
Yeah, I
just can't get my head around it. I don't care. I don't want it to be that.
I've got a feeling that they might throw away that fourth spot because it seemed to be theirs by virtue of no one else really wanting it.
Yeah.
And then a few other teams have started to show a bit of ambition, and Chelsea have got themselves in a bit of a rut.
Yeah, and that home form does not seem to be any less kind of erratic, does it?
No,
that's going to be.
And they've got Mourinho and his Spurs side.
Yeah, who will absolutely relish like getting stuck in.
Mm-hmm.
It's worth pointing out, Jim, as well, that you know, with the exception of Everton, who, lest we forget, literally fired their manager.
Exactly.
They've got the worst. Chelsea have the worst defensive record in the top half of the Premier League.
I know. Mm.
And so you
and have been in fourth for a long time.
And we said at the start, they feel like they've been there ever since, really, I can remember.
August.
But at the start of the season, do you remember we were saying how poor they looked without the ball?
Yeah.
I know we're going to come on and talk about Atletico in a minute, who are obviously the best team in the world without the ball.
Mm.
Chelsea are probably one of the worst at the top level without the ball. Yeah. And he doesn't seem to be able to sort it out. But of course, he's not been there that long and he's had different things to deal with. I like the fact they brought Ziyech in. Mm. That's a really exciting signing for Chelsea fans, isn't it? Who probably would want a bit of excitement after.
He'll be there in the summer.
Yes, he's coming in the summer. That's right. So that—I mean, I don't know if that's going to help them defensively, yeah. But it's a good signing.
Because Chelsea aren't just allowed to sign players from another club because it suits them at the time. Yeah, outside the window.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I think
having a pop at Barcelona fans—it's a niche. Yeah, it's a niche pop, Jim. But I like it.
How often do you get the chance?
No, it's true, actually. Yeah,
I think
only when we're talking about tax normally.
I really think that the window should apply to managers as well. Because, you know, when situations turn toxic and it all kicks off, you've got to wait for the window.
Yeah. I love that because sometimes teams just know they've got an absolute shithouse of a manager. Exactly, they look at the calendar and it's the 5th of September and they've got 15 or 20 games to go.
Exactly.
But as well, imagine the chaos that would throw into the transfers themselves if managers are getting sacked left, right and centre. You don't know who you're signing for.
Yeah, yeah. I'm up for it. I'm bloody up for it. All right, and Liverpool, of course, lost to Atletico Madrid in Madrid. Strange to see Liverpool losing. Yeah. But when Atletico are on that kind of form with that kind of atmosphere, you know, you can forgive them. I mean, it was a slightly fortuitous goal that Atleti scored early on, and the last thing you want to do is concede early to them.
They were like a cartoon wolf licking their lips when that chance went in.
Saul as well, who loves a goal in plot games.
Loves a big goal, doesn't he? Yeah.
But when they scored, there was this collective yes.
Yeah, I bet.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Simeone turned to his assistant and went, a mere 86 minutes to go. Lovely.
But the thing is, though, with Simeone, what he's got there is he's got such a captivating audience that they totally buy in and believe what he's doing, and hence he's been there for such a long time.
Well, they seem to feel like they've won it already, don't they? The way he sort of behaved at the final whistle and just the atmosphere in the stadium. And Atletico's president, after the game, said, Anfield is very old. It wouldn't pass an inspection. So that's what you're doing,
isn't it?
Rile Liverpool fans up before you take yourself to Anfield.
That's a dig.
What
that's
a ridiculous thing to
that
say.
That Atletico Madrid bus is not getting within half a mile of the stadium. They're going to have to walk.
No, they won't, but they won't walk, will they? They'll march with packs on their back in perfect formation.
I was going to say, to be fair, that'll play into their hands. Yeah. Oh, it's going to be explosive.
I fully expect if they did that, the Atletico team with Simeone at the front of it, all be dressed like the milk tray man.
Yeah.
And come from a helicopter and parachute in.
Yeah.
Zip line in.
I'd be doing my best to roll out the red carpet.
I think you're right.
At Anfield.
And it would be a red carpet, wouldn't it?
You've got this one. Have a relax.
Have a relax, obviously. Yeah, enjoy
yourself. What's really interesting about Simeone is not only the way he kind of conducts his team and how they're so good without the ball and how the shape's amazing, he conducts the crowd as well.
Yes. Like,
he's turning around to the crowd every 5 minutes, giving it some.
What did he say about the car park? When they turned up, he knew, hello, this is going to be something special. But Liverpool seemed to have their feathers ruffled slightly, only slightly. Mm. It's you know, half time, as they say, in the tie. And they only lost 1-0, you know, against a very, very good side in this kind of competition. I know Atletico are fourth. I think they're fourth maybe in the league.
It was Atletico's best performance of the season, as far as I'm aware.
It is, but this competition is a bit different, and their game plan was very, very clear. I mean, they love to defend at the best and worst of times, anyway. But they needed to. I mean, it was interesting. Klopp brought Mane off at half time as a precaution because he thought the Atleti players were going to try and succeed in getting him sent off. Mm. And Klopp himself, I think, was given a yellow card on the touchline. So they did ruffle Liverpool's feathers a little bit in a way that perhaps we've not really seen that much or at all this season, certainly in the Premier League. So I think it'd be an intriguing game at Anfield.
I know Gomez has sort of said that he thinks that Liverpool losing might be a good thing. Mm. I kind of subscribe to that. I think this needs to be a bit of a reminder that, you know, people can defeat
and you'd rather it happen in a two-legged affair because it might not necessarily be any harm done.
Absolutely. Because let's be honest, they're finding the Premier League easy at this point. And a lot of that is down to how hard they're working to make it appear that way. But this is a different competition that they always want to win, that they want to retain, you know?
So I think that's a really key point, Jim, because I think it might just be that because, and I think we've talked about this before on the show, that Liverpool are clearly amazing, and across a single season sample will probably be the best team we've ever seen, statistically.
In the Premier League.
There are lots of reasons why the other teams who would traditionally be their rivals haven't been as good. Mm. So is it a good barometer to see what they're like in the Champions League this season? I would argue it probably is. So
well, they've not been invincible this season in the Champions League.
That's right. And they might have felt retrospectively after this game, maybe we've had everything all our own way in the Premier League and we're not actually going to get that here against a team who present a different type of challenge, because no team in the Premier plays like Atletico do.
Yeah. Mm. But I think, you know, what Gomez and Pete Donaldson, you know, I put them in the same bracket regularly. Yeah. That idea that if Liverpool lose, obviously you don't want to lose 1-0. Obviously you'd rather draw 1-1 or let's not be silly, but to go back and have one of those nights at Anfield, you know? Because they will really go at them. Now, Atletico Madrid, there's a couple of interesting things. You know, if you remember when they played Juventus and won 2-0 at home and they scored late on, I remember thinking, oh, this is going to be tough for Juventus, that second goal. And then, of course, Cristiano Ronaldo turns up, doesn't he? But I think there is...
Hi, guys, I've just turned up.
Yeah.
What are you up to?
We thought you still played at Real Madrid.
Can I get a game?
I've got Richard Blackwood with me.
I brought my cleats.
But yeah, but
how he talks.
Yeah.
I'm doing another sit-up. 300, 301. I'm Cristiano Ronaldo. This is going to be. This is going to run and run. This is going to run and run.
I knew you hadn't
Hello,
finished.
Cristiano Ronaldo here.
What else are you into, Cristiano?
I'm not going to get into it.
Yeah, but of course, I think Diego Simeone's Atletico Madrid have only lost knockout games in the Champions League to a team that has Cristiano Ronaldo in there.
Right. So that's an interesting
Liverpool, can they make an emergency signing?
Well, under Quique Sanchez Flores in 2010, Atletico Madrid played Liverpool in Europe, and they won the first leg 1-0, and they went to Anfield and lost the second leg 2-1, but went through on away goals. Mm. For those Liverpool fans, was longer.
That was
memories.
In the semi-final,
probably.
Of the Europa League, because the winner played Fulham.
Fulham, that's right. Okay,
yeah. I remember watching the last knockings of that game in the Crabtree Pub near.
Forlan scored the away goal in the extra time.
Yes,
and Aquilani scored for Liverpool.
Yeah.
God, that seems a long time ago, doesn't it?
It's got no relevance to 2020.
Very different propositions. Because as you say, though, the danger here for Liverpool, Luke, is that Atletico probably are the best team in the world without the ball. So, you know, they are primed for the challenge that will face them at Anfield.
The curious thing, though, I think, is that they haven't been to the level they've been shown in the past under Simeone this season. They've had a lot of injuries. Yep. There's been a lot of doubt around what Simeone can do with this team now. He's being... I mean, OTC mentioned it all the time. He's talked about as a bit of a one-trick pony now. And he's running short of players who keep getting bad muscle injuries. Of course, he's got high-profile players missing. But they're
Kieran
able to...
Trippier.
Exactly. And that's just trips just for one.
Yeah.
But they seem to be able to roll back the years last this week. Yeah. And if they can do it next week as well, or whatever, sorry, next leg as well, then good on them.
Exactly.
Good on
them. Is it a good time to play Liverpool after they've just been defeated?
Not if you're West Ham.
No.
It's not a good time to play anyone at all if you're West Ham. And I really mean that.
Not a good time to be involved in football.
Yeah. Things cannot get better than they are at the moment.
They just can't.
Have you seen West Ham's fixture list coming up? My God.
Yeah, they've got Southampton in there. They need to win that match.
Yeah.
They really, really do. I mean, they were beaten 2-0, of course, against Manchester City, which, to be honest with you, I think I was looking at the table. They were on goal difference. I think they were three ahead of, would it be Watford in there? Mm. So 2-0, I mean...
Did Rodri break the record for passes in the Premier League game?
Oh, did he?
I think he did. I think he did 178 passes in a game.
Do you think, though...
Which, by the way... Given that the ball's only in play for about 35 minutes, is absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, that's quality. I mean, do you think, though, when Moyes walks off the pitch there, they've only lost 2-0, he's thought, job done?
Yeah.
I don't think he walks off.
Don't get embarrassed.
Trundles, lurches off.
Sleep. More of a ghostly glide.
Yeah.
I didn't see the game because I was at the Spurs game, but presumably they were that bad, were they? West Ham?
To be fair, defensively, they were as solid as they probably have been. But right, I'm saying you're away to Manchester City. Yeah. Realistically, it is damage limitation. You know, even though Manchester City are not going through a great time, of course.
No, but their record
we'll
against
them
City.
In the second half.
West Ham's record against City is appalling.
It is, and West Ham have been very poor, especially of late as well. Yeah. So, away to Liverpool is not really what the doctor ordered for them.
Stay up there though. Way to City, then away to Liverpool.
There you
go. Travel back, have you?
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. We'll find out perhaps what their travel plans are.
Yeah.
And scrutinise them. But yes, they I think they play Southampton after.
They do.
Liverpool.
At home.
That is such a must-win game, for crying out loud. It really is for them.
Because it's a difference. Sorry, Jim, go on.
I was going to say, is there an argument that Liverpool might have a little bit of a hangover from the Champions League and West Ham might shock everyone?
Yeah. I mean, I think we've sort of already covered that. Yeah. Decisively and very swiftly.
I think that it's a really crucial game to play against Sunderland because it really will determine whether West Ham get relegated with 24 points or 27. So, it's important.
Naughty.
I think people are still with 24 points a season.
Yeah, could be. Yeah. Could happen.
I really do.
Well, no, they can't because...
They can't happen.
Because they're in the... Okay, fine. Yeah.
There we are.
You could possibly, in theory, stay up, I think. I haven't checked.
How many?
25.
25.
But I don't know who's playing each other around there.
Yeah. No, you can't do because the teams will play each other. You can't.
Yeah. All right, I'm going to say, to stay up this season...
I think 35.
Nah.
They could play so badly, everyone gets docked 5 points.
I reckon you could start with 35.
Jim, forgive me for this.
Do you think Arsenal are safe, lol?
Is it interesting that we're towards the end of February and talking about 35 points being safe and Arsenal currently have 34 points?
Yeah. What is that? What do you think then?
I think 34. I'm going to stick with that.
So you're saying Arsenal are safe?
No.
barring yeah. a goal difference disaster. Yeah.
You can stay up with 34 this season.
what was the point to keep you up?
The better question is what could you get into the Champions League for?
Yeah, I mean, well, exactly. I mean, there's a place.
So last season,
I reckon 48 points and you're in Champions League.
When is that all going to be sorted out? Because presumably there'll be appeals and stuff about the whole ban.
Let's not.
Highest ever points tally is actually 34 to stay up with. That was West Brom in 04-05.
Yeah, but it's been done. 34.
But last season, technically, if you had 34 points and a better than minus 35 goal difference, you would have stayed up last season.
Right.
Because Cardiff went down with 34.
All right, I've got 33 then.
Yeah.
There it is.
Luke's game all over again.
Yeah.
Now it's time for emails with PTD. You email show at footballrambledaily.com.
And now Peter's reading it out. Well done. Oh, Tyler Coppedge. In fact, pretty much the whole email box this week, is just about that French amateur footballer who bit another amateur footballer the penis.
So what's the story about that?
In France, that's where they mainly reside, a match between SC Thionville and AS Sutrich. Two clubs in the eastern region of Lorraine, separated by just a 10-minute drive. Two players began fighting. The unidentified victim, a Turville player, stepped in to break it up, and then the other player bit that player on the penis. Emergency room, a dozen stitches to close the wound. A dozen.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
so
mama.
So he didn't just give it a little nick, like letting him know he's there. It was like, I'm going to try and bite your penis off.
Wayne Bobbitt.
There was no nibbling involved.
That wasn't a nibbling. That was a knife,
wasn't it?
Yeah. Oh, I don't remember.
Didn't he become a porn star?
Possibly, or did a pornographic film. I remember a penis being severed and left at the side of the road.
Richard Blackwood, John Wayne Bobbitt. Two very 90s references, possibly 80s.
You're welcome, guys.
Yeah, that's fine. But Tyler does make the point that he could have escaped with a helicopter.
penis will be bitten.
No content to this email at all, but the subject title is Brandon Williams left back England.
Right.
Matt Rafter. Yeah. Bringing on the quality. Hello to Brian Markovitz in NYC.
Brian Markovitz, FBI agent.
Markovitz reports. The CONCACAF Champions League, our cheaper, poorly produced version of the Champions League, began this week. I found myself watching Portmore United of Jamaica versus Cruz Azul of Mexico. Intrigued, I went to Wikipedia to learn more about Portmore, and I was not disappointed. The stadium is called the Prison Oval, and it's on the same property as an actual prison.
Wow.
The team is coached by Ricardo Gardner and features a player with the name to match Shaquille Penas, Jamal Pussy.
Dearie me.
Brian Markovitz, go help yourself to a slice, kid.
I've seen Cruz Azul play.
Oh, yeah. Cool. Blue Cross.
Absolutely.
I'm not going to get that. That's footballrambledaily.com if you would like to get involved. We make sure at footballrambledaily.com.
And now Pete is reading it out. Well done. Thanks for all the penis emails. Well done indeed. Right, ladies and gentlemen, let's have a quick break.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free.
or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Welcome back to the previous show on Football Ramble Daily, sponsored by Betway. Now, Manchester United, they won at Stamford Bridge. Can they go on and win at Old Trafford at home to Watford?
This is the kind of game that presumably strikes fear into the heart of Man United fans, because they think, God, we'll probably lose this now.
Yeah.
Because they had a good one.
There was a bit of VAR controversy, wasn't there?
There were two bits of it. On Monday night?
Yeah. I mean, good win for Manchester United. Yeah. I'll take that away from them.
I feel very, very harsh in both senses, really.
Yeah.
The disallowed goals.
Harry Maguire, should he have been sent off?
I think it's funny. Seeing his interview afterwards, you thought, yes, he's covering up that he's got away with one there.
Yeah.
He seemed to just sort of start babbling and kind of forget what his mad reason why it was actually normal that he kicked someone in the groin.
Does VAR reduce the chance of action being taken after the match? Because obviously these incidents are supposed to be looked at all the time. Never going to get like a situation. So Maguire could probably come out and go, I kicked him in the nads and I didn't get in trouble for it, blah, blah, blah.
I don't think there's anything to stop them reinvestigating things that were missed by VAR.
Yeah.
But surely VAR should be a constant. They should be looking at every single situation.
Don't put that idea in their head.
Yeah, it should be constantly in the bin, is what it should be, yeah. With the lid on.
I quite like the idea of Maguire going, I kicked him in the net! Yeah.
But a lot of comparisons were drawn with the Son thing, where Son got sent off four Spurs for a roughly similar thing.
Yeah.
And it was checked by VAR. And the thing that's kind of confusing is that one of the main reasons for putting VAR in was like, well, we can get consistency on these decisions. But then we're told, oh, yeah, but it was a different ref checking the VAR. And it's like, well,
this is it. I mean, yeah. This is it.
If you're going to interpret things completely subjectively anyway, what's the point?
It was a very strange situation, though, wasn't it? He did, because Maguire doesn't seem to look at him or anything. He does seem to just leave his leg out for him to rest his groin on it.
Yeah.
It's odd. It's a very strange thing.
Here you go, lad, rest your groin.
Hey, have your little rest.
Yeah. Cristiano Ronaldo says, have a little rest.
Pop your groin down here.
Well, I mean, I thought there may well have been a bit of intention there. Mm. What was interesting was the Chelsea bench did sort of leap up, but they actually didn't make as big a deal of it as other benches. And Lampard, who probably didn't see it, sort of went over to make sure everything was okay.
He was blindsided by that, wasn't he?
He was, yeah. But other managers...
Gone, you made a little groin stand. I've never seen that before.
But other managers and other benches may well have gone more crazy. And perhaps that would have maybe...
Mourinho would have lost his mind.
Well, exactly, yeah. So
he would have put his bottle down first and then run on like that gif.
Indeed, Aaron Wan-Bissaka, often criticised for perhaps not producing as much as he may in the final third of the pitch. Mm. But when you see two lovely little chops,
that was quality,
and then a whipped cross, and you think, oh, there it is.
Brilliant curling ball as well for Martial.
Yeah, and it was a lovely goal. And of course, Maguire himself scored a nice header as well. But Chelsea, two goals ruled out by VAR for a foul and offside.
One was a blatant push, though, wasn't it?
Do you think it was that bad?
We're going back a few days here, so my adult brain is it the one at the near post?
Yeah,
it's a definite push, I thought.
Okay.
It wasn't exactly like he's thrown into the ground, though, was it? It was just
that's Neil Warnock there. He's not endangered the life of the player.
That is not the same.
Was it worse than Mane?
You're on the same spectrum there.
No, you felt Mane against Norwich wasn't a push, whereas others
No, because I think Mane's was very... So Mane's was... The ball's coming over and he's trying to get space and he's using his body. Mm. I can see why people would say that was a push, but for me, I felt that was okay.
I don't trust Jim's opinion on pushes and falls because he's always on the floor. He does have dyspraxia. Mm.
Yeah.
Well, possibly. Surely I would know best then.
The near post from my... Yeah, he's got more experience. The near post from my memory is a real shove in the back and the guy hits the ground, which leaves the space for the ball to come out. I think, to me, they're different.
My memory of it was that the shove wasn't actually that bad and I think he's maybe collided with someone else. Anyway. They didn't give it. Did
it doesn't
they?
Matter.
It was a shame that Giroud header was disallowed. Yeah. It was a lovely header,
and what a head,
and what a beautiful head.
He should be playing football matches more often.
He should. It's frustrating, isn't it?
Mm.
Yeah, it is frustrating.
Very frustrating. Well, of course, that was given for offside, and you know, much to the anger and frustration of a lot of Chelsea fans. But there is a man. There is a man who thinks he can help with the whole VAR offside situation. That man is Big Arsene Wenger, or is he affectionately known by all of us in this room, without exception, Big Veng.
Big Veng and his guns.
Well, he's leading the charge in... No, he's not. He's not got guns anymore.
No, he had some before. He's not leading any charge. Wenger is not a man who leads a charge, is he? It's the wrong turn of phrase. Yeah.
He's been interviewed by Canal Plus.
Yeah, he put his pen down, put his reading glasses back in his pocket and... tentatively suggested something.
He's a man who...
Before falling over his own suitcase.
No, he's not uncoordinated.
He's really clumsy.
He is apparently very clumsy.
I've heard a load of ex-players tell me that.
They used to call him Clouseau, didn't they?
Yeah. Apparently he would make amazingly insightful, brilliantly intelligent football points and then stumble over a pair of football boots. And
it's funny, because he was a player back in the day. You think his balance was maybe... Yeah.
Won the league with in France, didn't he?
Well, anyway, Wenger has been bellowing from the rooftops that... again, not a man to do that.
on the roof.
He's dressed as Batman on the House of Parliament.
I just want my guns back.
Yeah. Feel like pure shit. Just want to sort out this offside law.
Wenger's for justice. He wants to sort out the offside. Because he's FIFA's head of global development.
Oh, okay.
I love that. Yeah. It's a nice reminder. Who better?
That FIFA has got a surplus. Well,
can I just say, get Sven in there as well.
Can I just say, that is a suitably disconcertingly vague job title for an organisation that would quite like to have Arsene Wenger around.
We'd like him to team up with Sven and Veng. That is the dream team there.
What job have you asked me to come in for? Let's spin the wheel. It's come up head of global development. Do you want that?
Yeah. Imagine FIFA's a bus. You're the bloke who stands behind the man who's driving the bus, telling him what to do, but mainly just talking to him.
Yeah. It's landed on president. Oh, that's my job now. Let's spin it again.
Cut that one.
Head of global development doesn't really sound like it's in the remit of changing the laws of the game either, does it?
He wants to do it.
Broad.
Also, Jim, I mean, call me a bluff old traditionalist to use that phrase again. I don't think this should be being talked about ahead of Euro 2020.
Yeah.
I don't think they should be thinking about doing this for a big tournament. Yeah.
Well, some people might not know what it is, so I should enlighten them. Yeah. Of course, he wants... well, I'll just read out the quote, shall I? So this is the existing law, of course, for offside, is a player is in an offside position if any part of the head, body or feet is in the opponent's half and any part of the head, body or feet is nearer to the opponent's goal line than both the ball and the second last opponent. Wenger said his idea is this: you will be onside if any part of the body that can score a goal is in line with the last defender, even if other parts of the attacker's body are in front. That will sort it out and you will no longer have decisions about millimetres and a fraction of the attacker being in front of the defensive line.
Hmm.
I mean, it clears it up for me.
Make it longer. Well, just make the decision making longer.
Get in the fucking bin.
Well, the thing here, Miguel Delaney made a really good point.
There's a good article
about how the shift that will probably happen here will be that it will make the game more defensive because there's a lot more risk inherently in your defensive line from that. So it remains to be seen if that happens, but that makes perfect sense that would happen. Because, I mean, if one of your feet is in line with, like, if basically both those players are at full sprint, or at full stretch, that's quite a lot of space, potentially.
This whole season is just, certainly with the offside stuff, has just ruined. I was doing a podcast, Clash of the Titles, you should listen, it's very good, but I was on doing a review of Gaul. Remember the Newcastle United?
I
wonder why you went on
and
that
also,
podcast.
And also Escape to Victory. Ignoring how amazing Goal was and how important it was bringing Isaac Hayden to Newcastle United, for example. I was watching a lot of Escape to Victory because obviously it was Bobby Robson's Ipswich team that made up a lot of the footballers.
Yeah.
And I was watching it and there was a couple of times I was like, well, is that going to be given? And I'm like, what has gone wrong in my head?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm watching Escape to Bloody Victory and you know, you've got Rambo in bloody nets and I'm worrying about VAR. Yeah. What's wrong with me?
When he celebrates saving the penalty and escapes a victory, he gets so excited he almost throws the ball into his own net.
Yeah. He boots the ball away. That ball's live. That could come back in by a German.
Yeah,
the game's not finished.
It probably will.
Idiot.
Yeah,
he's not been trained properly.
On the going back to sorry for to interrupt your trip down that tangential.
Well, I don't think I made the point of the thing, but there is it was filmed on Goal, the video game of Santiago Munez,
movie.
Based on Newcastle.
It's a movie,
United.
Not a video
what did
game.
I say? Sorry, video. Yeah. Sorry,
habit.
It wasn't filmed on digital, so it was filmed on celluloid.
Yeah.
So in some lockup somewhere, in an unlovable little hall in Hollywood, there will be a roll of film that contains Titus Bramble's fucking face. And I don't want it. Oh. That's the thing. It should be in a box somewhere that can be never seen by anyone or consumed by anyone. What? Or maybe fired into space. There's a shot with Libro, Kieran Dyer.
Don't let other fucking civilizations see it.
I think Titus Bramble looks more like an alien than a human.
Is everything all right at home, Pete?
Yeah. Just watching a lot of old films.
Yeah. I can't even remember what we're talking about.
Who agrees with Big Veng?
Oh, yeah. The Miguel Delaney thing that Jim cited, I also read and I found really insightful.
Has he seen Goal?
But I almost certainly. The man is a savant. But he said that the problem isn't the rule, it's the subatomic.
Yes.
The subatomic scrutiny of it. Yeah.
Mm.
And I do think that we've said on this show before a slightly different point to Miguel, but nonetheless I respect what he's saying, which is that the current law doesn't seem to be conducive with the current way it's being looked at. So one of the two things needs to change. This just shuffles it to a different point of view. Mm. It doesn't shuffle any of the rule. And what you're going to find is some people have already shown examples on Twitter, because some people have nothing better to do, where the striker will be almost quite literally 5 feet offside, but will be onside because there'll be a part of him that's onside. So it's, and one thing I would say what would happen is you'd get forward players wearing really big flappy shirts.
Yeah, back in the old days.
Well,
yeah.
you know, like...
So that's a positive.
Most footballers, when they take their shirts off to celebrate, they've usually got one of those kind of like sports bra sort of things, and on the back, in between the shoulder blades, they've always got a bit of electronics.
It's
little patch. Yeah. Why can't we just use that?
Wouldn't you need like a sort of motion capture suit level of
no? But I mean, there? I mean that's a proximity, or it tells you where the player is on the pitch. Can we not just get a really?
If they're offside, it gives them an electric shock.
Yeah,
well, or blows their head off,
so they just fall down, so they can't score. They've been electrocuted.
That certainly would
offside
sort it out.
Is one of the most boring things about the game. Anyway, just get rid.
Get rid
of the whole thing.
Exactly. We can't. We brought technology in. It realised that it can't do it, so we just got to get rid of it.
Yeah,
get rid of every part AI cannot, you know, deal with.
Sod off technology. Mm. Well, back at Manchester United, you see that Paul Pogba has obviously been at the...
Is he still a player?
He's still around. I don't know what he is now.
He's been being discussed, of course. Mino Raiola, his agent, Gary Neville, a little spat on Twitter. Raiola said Pogba felt more at home in Italy, which is why he'd like to return to Juventus. Neville accused Raiola of consistently embarrassing Manchester United, and the club should avoid players who have him as their agent. Raiola responded by saying, Gary Neville has such a big know-how of football. I'm surprised he's Salford City and not in the Premier League already. He went on to say, Gary Neville can go screw himself. He has never done a successful job in life outside of being a fantastic football player.
Don't put that caveat in.
Don't put that in.
Yeah. He's also a pretty handy pundit, I would say.
If you're going full in 2 feet, call him a shit player.
Other than most of what he's done with his life, he's not been that good.
Yeah. Other than 20 years.
The reason
years,
why we know him.
At the very top of the game, right? A game which I also work in, he's done nothing.
Other than the peak of the exact subject we're discussing. What's he ever done?
Well, Neville in return called Rowan. A leech.
Ooh.
Well, I think the whole thing is fairly undignified, and of course this won't happen. But if I were a player and he was my agent, I'd be saying, "Can you stop doing that, please? Because you're making things worse."
Yes,
he also had a massive row on Talksport, didn't he?
Yeah.
Where he got into a big old spat with Simon Jordan, who hates agents anyway. Mm. So that was quite entertaining. And it's embarrassing for a club the size of Man United, because what it's doing is it's positioning Paul Pogba as being held to ransom by Man United and highlighting Man United being such a weak position they won't pull the plug or they won't do anything about it. Because what should happen, I don't want to sort of hark back to Ferguson unnecessarily, but you would think that what Ferguson would have done is probably said, well, see you in the reserves then, mate. Yeah. You're not fit anyway, so you're not going to be eligible for selection. Mm. And we'll sell you as soon as we can. And I put that the word out there.
Yeah.
And if football fans don't like it, you say, look, the guy's played two games in September. Yeah. He's not making a contribution. He's causing problems. And just put it on him. Put it on him completely.
I think stick one on him.
That's a real sad thing, is that Paul Pogba is an immensely talented footballer.
Really good. Yeah.
And I want to see him playing again. Yeah. I'm sure everybody does.
I like the fact that Mino Raiola only follows one... Twitter account, and it's Twitter verified.
Yeah,
he's very thankful.
I'm keeping tabs on that. Yeah, I'm keeping tabs on that just in case they
Twitter verified. Who's representing you?
Yeah. But because the other thing is that, and what I also don't like about the idea is that Ryle is saying, "Oh yeah, well, Pogba now quite fancies to go. He wants to go back to Juventus." It happens with Neymar as well. It's not what football is.
No.
You're not a player. Players are powerful these days, but they're not so powerful. They swan around the world and just decide when they want to play for whatever club they want to play for. There's a process, and it's a team game. You contribute to a squad, you train, and you perform. You don't just get to choose whenever you want to go somewhere and then kick your rat out the pram when you don't get what you want.
He's making it more difficult for his client to move if they want, because Manchester United, they may want to get rid of him, but they're not going to just part ways for a few million quid. And if you're wanting to sign Paul Pogba, you're thinking, well, do we want all that nonsense?
Well, it might actually be the other way around. It might be a deliberate
attempt what he's doing
to make the situation untenable so that perhaps Man United accept less of a fee for him, because the fee's going around for those top level players now. If you get one of those transfers wrong, you put yourself in a lot of trouble.
Very true.
I think he's out of contract. I think he's out of contract next summer.
Right.
Put him in the reserves for 18 months.
Get him in there.
See you later.
Uh-huh. The reserves might well need him.
Graham Sinner's told me to say that.
Well, they have a chance, of course, Manchester United, to edge towards that fourth spot at home to Watford this weekend. Leicester City are playing Manchester City. The battle for second, we could call that, perhaps. See, Pep Guardiola's come out and said, even if they put us in League Two, I will still be here.
Do it
till the end of the season.
You've got to do it.
Yeah.
If he says it, you've got to do it.
Yeah. All right then, Pep. I mean, we were thinking Championship, but if you insist...
Yeah. Tell you what we'll have is we'll have a team from League Two to go up to League One. So Man City can go into League Two, and then we'll put Portsmouth in the Premier League.
I knew you were going to...
What's wrong with that?
Nothing.
Well, City have done it before, haven't they? They got back up.
Are they going to League Two, I think?
Yeah, but you know, they've gone down the Pompey Highway.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, of course, Manchester City CEO Ferran Soriano believes that the Champions League ban on the club will be dropped.
I hate that. I have to say, I hate the sinister message that's coming out of this.
Do you also hate that?
But Gary Neville believes this as well. Yeah. Might not be with the same conviction and the same hope that Soriano said.
But do you not like the fact that Soriano chose to give his interview to Man City TV with a Man City employee asking the question?
Exactly. Yeah. It all just seems like, well,
I am recording this interview on my own will.
They're treating me very well.
Yeah. Well, Neville said about UEFA, I have no faith in them whatsoever. I think they are a hopeless organisation who just apply erratic disciplinary sanctions.
Well, this is the danger, isn't it? Because this is huge for UEFA. They've really, really got to stand up here. This is a test of both their nerve and their credibility. Because if City, you know, are found after appeal to have done what UEFA are saying they have done, they can't be allowed to just do that. They can't, because
they
just
can't.
Let's be honest, City have more money than UEFA, which is a mad situation. So it could be a hell of a legal battle. And it could be that UEFA like blink first and back down.
But I believe, and the detail is obviously very tricky here, and it's not my area of expertise at all, but I believe that because they've all signed up to an agreement which says, because ultimately, I think when they sign up to the rules of a confederation or whatever, in this case UEFA, which then reports into CAS when it needs to be done, they kind of say that we're not just going to go and sue you, we will accept whatever recourse is agreed upon. And I don't think there's anywhere to go after CAS. If they step out of that, I think they're setting like really bad precedents. So, and also, I mean, they have been found in breach of it. Well, I mean, you haven't got a hedge yet.
He keeps saying the allegations of
It's bullshit.
Well, they're not allegations.
They have a right to appeal, and that's good and proper, and they will do that, I'm sure. And I think CAS will wrap it up as soon as they can, because they've got, as I said before, they've got precedence for fast track and stuff. But they've been found in breach. It's as simple as that. If they've got a right to appeal, great. But they've been found in breach, and as things stand, they'll be out of the Champions League next season.
It's like they've hired Steve Bannon and Dominic Cummings to deal with it, though. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I mean, I'm just enjoying Soriano's career. He's the CEO of Manchester City. He's also the CEO of New York City FC and Melbourne City FC. And he used to be the chairman at a Spanish airline called Spanair.
Yeah.
That,
you ever flown with Spanair?
Does no exist anymore.
Have you ever flown with Spanair?
I have not, no. It ended in 2012.
Has he not written books before? Wasn't there one called James and the Giant Breach?
Where's that come from?
Wow.
It's not even a Roald Dahl pun, is it?
No.
No.
Chuckling away, though.
Yeah, exactly.
Let me have it. Like,
if you're just like going to laugh,
I'll do a fucking non sequiturs around here,
you
mate.
You can just enjoy it in your own mind, and you still be.
I don't think that kind of thing that I should keep in my own mind.
No, fair enough.
I've got other ones there, and I think that's a pretty good one. That's definitely a good one. But no, you're not going to hear them.
Think of the listeners.
Exactly.
What do they want to hear?
They want to hear.
I love that the only book you can think of is a children's book.
Feel free to join in, Jim.
I don't want to.
Who should be talking about this? Jules Breach.
Exactly.
Mm. Yeah.
That's already done.
Have you done that one?
She's not a giant breach. She's tiny.
No, she is very small, yeah.
What else have we got to say? Oh, yeah, Jamie Vardy. Not scored in his last 10 matches. What's that all about?
Wanker.
What's that all about? Wanker.
Oh, no, he has scored. He scored one goal in his last 10 matches. Forgive me.
Mr. Wanker.
But,
yeah, not as big a wanker.
Yeah, so he's... I mean, he was, you know, obviously we've turned our attentions to England or to Vardy for England, and yeah. He stopped scoring.
Yeah. Well, I'll teach you then. I'm not going to score any goals until you shut up about
it. Does he need more Skittles in vodka?
But maybe. It's possible.
Get them in there.
The way he works, maybe that is it.
Oh, speaking of strikers for England, doesn't someone come out today and, I don't know, it was, I can't remember, said Rashi's going to be out of the Euros.
Yeah, it was Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. He's actually a Man United manager.
Oh, is he? I keep forgetting. Yeah.
Oh,
I forget that, yeah.
A little cobalt-eyed boy. That's how I'm going to speak the rest of the day.
Let's have a better way for it.
Pete, am I going to have to interpret like your fourth score is? Each week we'll be participating in fourth score. Me, Jim, Marcus and Pingu. For a chance to win a big, huge prize for charity. A big, huge prize. It's £100,000 this week. You can win up to that. Fourth score entry is free. You just pick the first goal scorer in Betway's four selected matches. Make sure your selections are submitted before the first game, because that would be silly otherwise. Further T's and C's apply. It's £100,000 this week. Jim, you've got the first game. You've got Leicester v Man City, the aforementioned.
Yeah. I've gone for Sergio Aguero, just because I want to play it safe, and I think he's about as safe a bet as you get.
Okay, good-o. Pete?
I've gone for
fuck's sake.
Kiko Firmino.
Yeah, Man United have won every game they've played against Watford at the Premier League.
Is that true?
In the Premier League.
Premier League.
At the Premier League. Yeah. .com.
Firmino has not scored a goal this season, so...
Well, he's a fullback. So
he's due one, is he?
He's due one, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
We're scoring all of our goals from fullback.
To be fair, Pete, I mean, the last one we did get right was Pete.
And who was it?
Sammy Amiobi.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
He's building on that.
I've got Wolves v Norwich, so obviously I've gone to Raul Jimenez.
Yeah, good man.
I have to do that. It's part of it. You've got Arsenal v Everton, Marcus.
Yeah, Richarlison. Basic. Arsenal, you know, got Europa League, tonight at the time of recording and so on. And I think Ancelotti will get one over Arteta, the endless battle. And Richarlison will open the scoring.
It's like it's like the band Sleeper, these selections. I'm Luis Wenner. Everyone wants to talk to me because I'm interesting. You lot. Basic.
Where's this come from?
Sergio Aguero, Jimenez, Richarlison.
So, pathetic. John Wayne Bobbitt.
Yeah. I'm just saying, if we're going to give ourselves a chance of actually winning some money for charity, and I don't like to talk about my charity work, right?
Because we haven't won any yet.
Yeah. You might not want to pick a player who's not played not scored a goal all season, and I think might have been injured.
He's back from injury, baby.
So
he
probably won't play the whole game.
He wants to get picked.
Okay.
Come on.
All right. You can't don Sammy Amiobi forever, is what I'm going to say. That's Betway's four to score. Do get involved. It's free to play. Just go to betway.com/four to score. It's £100,000, and it'll stay at £100,000 until someone wins the damn thing.
Indeed. All right, ladies and gentlemen. Now the real reason why we're all here. It's time for the Masked Winger.
Who's under there, under the mask? Let's see if we can figure it out. Let's see if we can figure it out. It's the mask we have.
Every time I go to this box to put the box on my head, someone has put some more things in it, like I'm going to really hurt myself with more and more objects.
It makes me laugh,
isn't it?
Yeah. I'm going to put a brick in it next week.
It really amuses me that we start the music and then I see, what's Pete? Oh, he's getting the box to
Get the box ready. I'm in the box. Thank you to Gallen. From Ottawa, Canada.
Good name,
Kevin.
Great name, Gallen Weaver. Beautiful. Long time listener. Always enjoyed the Go for Glow segment. Never heard of it. And even more so now because the new jingle exists. Masked Winger. Here are the clues. Not necessarily a winger, but a midfielder. All right?
That put us off last time because it was a winger.
Mm. Yeah.
I was born on October the 23rd, 1978.
And also, don't forget last week, the thing that put us off, Marcus, is that Pete quite literally got the clues wrong.
Absolutely yeah. Lies.
1978. All right.
Listen to the clues.
Yeah, I was listening. Right. 1978. I'm going to go. Stop.
Right.
I'm going to go for Nicky Barmby.
No.
Not like that. Stop, Nicky Butt.
No, don't give me
stop,
another Nicky.
Stop, Nicky Weaver.
No, Nicky Weaver.
Midfielder Nicky Weaver.
The masked Nicky.
Hamilton Nickard.
Lovely. During my professional career, I played for Peterborough, Wigan and Ipswich, amongst others.
Stop. Starring... It's got to be Jimmy Bullard.
Oh!
Very good.
Lukey Moa.
First time I've heard that for a long time.
Who's under there, under the mask? Let's see if we can figure it out. Who's under there, under the mask? Let's see if we can figure it out. It's the mask we have.
Yep, while playing at Wigan against Arsenal, the floodlights failed and I proceeded to pull down Freddie Eurenberg's shorts. After seeing Duncan Ferguson punch my Wigan teammate and receive a straight red, I told him, I'll see you in the tunnel at the end of the game, all while looking rather petrified. Yeah. Jimmy Bullard.
Yeah. Mm. Remember
you
it.
Got that very quickly.
Yeah, I knew he played at Peterborough. I knew he played at Wigan.
Cheat.
Watches a lot of sucker AM.
Hate is going to hate, isn't it?
You had a lot of sugar this morning, Marcus.
Yeah. By the way, Pete, you love that section of sucker AM, don't you?
I cannot stop watching the volleys, where they get the fans to do all the volleys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You've got the pro-am kind of challenge where you do where you take on the keeper and you do the free kicks and stuff. I'd love to have a go.
Would you?
I want to break in under the cover of darkness and just take shots past the little man.
It used to be, because Marcus and I both used to work at Sky in a little car park. We used to set it up on a Friday. It was quite interesting to watch.
First time it was Feed the Goat when I was there. It was quite difficult.
Yeah. That was when I had to ping it through the hole, though,
I got
right?
it first time, and then it took me ages to get a second one.
But you see, the most the people you don't think are going to be really good at it are really good, and then there'll be professional footballers who brought the wrong shoes.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
Have a stinker. They can always do the crossbar. I love that section. I love watching Jimmy Bullard, who was a very, very good footballer in his time, playing football and just dicking about. Love it.
Yeah, yeah. He loves the he really enjoys. He's got a guy who loves life, and you've got to respect that. When you get a bit older, you think, you know what? He's happy. Good on him.
Yeah.
Managed Leatherhead, of course.
He did.
Another connection between him and
that us. That was one of the clues. The world's greatest. He played it in the dressing room.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
There you are. There you are, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for listening to the preview show on Football Ramble Daily, sponsored by Betway. I'm back tomorrow with Jonathan Wilson for another Greatest Games podcast. Get your ears around that. Thank you, Luke Moore.
Thank you.
Thank you, Pete Donaldson.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Jim Campbell.
Thank you,
listeners. We'll see you soon.
This was a Stakhanov production.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.